And thank you, I should say, for prayers whilst I was in Vietnam. Everything went well. Actually, I think we're making some progress. So having been with this town last year, it felt like really we weren't making any changes out there. But actually this year, I feel like slowly we're beginning to make a difference and the patients are getting better treatment and better care. So everything went well and I was safe and there was no more problems. So good. I really appreciate your prayers for that. So as you said, last time I spoke about thriving or surviving, so we're moving on to quite a different topic now. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when you read the Bible, you come across a verse or a section and you think, I must have read that hundreds of times before, but I've never really caught it. It's not really caught my eye. I could probably tell you about the story, but I don't really know that I've gone into depth about it. So this morning I want to preach on the parable of the lost coin, which is a tiny little section. I'll read it out from here. So it's only found in Luke, so Luke 15, verses 8 to 10. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just two verses there. Little short story. But actually, when you start to go into it, there's so much more to this section here. So the first thing we ought to do when we look at any of these verses is look at the very beginning and it says, or. That often means that something has happened just before it. So you can't take these things out of context. It's got to be situated within what Jesus was saying at the time. So this little bit is only found in Luke. It's not in the other Gospels. And it's part of three parables about being lost. So we often think of the lost sheep. And that's probably the one. If we talk about a parable about being lost, actually often the one that's about the sheep comes to mind more quickly to us. But actually when you look at what's happening at the time, Jesus is making a deliberate point here about seeking the lost. Whether it's a sheep or a coin, there's a deliberate point to be made. And there's a deliberate point in choosing a woman, and probably a poor woman as well. So the lost sheep is probably somebody who was relatively rich because he had 100 sheep, which was worth quite a lot in those days. But actually what he's saying is not just about the sheep, but actually I'm going to use this as an example that I'm here to save everyone. I don't care if you're rich and you've got 100 sheep. I don't care if you're poor and one coin means everything to you. I've come to save both.
Yeah.
But he's also speaking to the prejudices of the Pharisees at the time. Now, he's in the previous parts of Luke, he's really come into close conflict with the Pharisees at this point. He's beginning to challenge them. He's beginning to do things that they really didn't think were to be done. So he goes in Luke 11, he goes to a Pharisee's home, and no doubt that person felt particularly proud to welcome into his home, but he didn't wash his hands before the meal. And actually Jesus then quite firmly tells them they're being hypocrites because they're so fussed about what's on the outside, they're not interested in what's on the inside. Everything that they do is about their public persona and their physical appearance and how it looks and how big and important they are. He then does the same in Luke 12 when he preaches to the crowds. He says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. So again, he's pointing at them saying, all this stuff on the outside doesn't matter. Everything that you do behind closed doors is seen by Father God. And then in Luke 13, he heals a couple of women on the Sabbath. Shock, horror. And that's exactly the reaction he gets from them. They cannot believe that he's healed someone on the Sabbath. How dare he? How can you do such a thing? And Jesus is saying, you're missing the point. Lads, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
This is not what it's about. It's not about rules. It's about God coming in and healing and saving people. So this little section comes at the point where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees to make sure it's clear that God has come for everyone. There's no prejudices there. He's coming at the time, but he's already beginning to challenge their beliefs. So then moving on to the story a bit. I started to read it and then I was thinking about it. I was thinking, Everybody's lost something, haven't you? You've lost a purse, you've lost, hopefully not a child for very long, but you might have lost a child in the supermarket or in the shopping centre, or there's something in the house, and you know it's in the house, but you just can't find it. So we all know, we talk about something that's lost, you think, oh yeah, but what happens before you realise you've lost it? You're fine. You don't have any stress or any angst. You have an assumption that the thing that you're thinking about is where it should be. The passport is in the drawer where it should always be. Actually, you don't know it's not there. And so actually, we start to think about the society in which we live and work in, the notion that obviously God comes to save people, we have to be careful because actually not everyone knows that they're even lost.
Yeah, right.
You have to recognise that you're lost before you can start to be found. And there's this period beforehand where actually, you don't realise the passport's not there. You're in the shopping centre and you think the child's behind you or in front of you, and it's only that heart sink moment where you realise it's not where it should be, when the thing is missing. Yeah. You get that heart stopping, sweating hands, panic rising. Oh my goodness, what can I do? Yeah. But let's not forget the bit that comes first, where things can be lost without you realising it. You've lost your passport, your purse, and you don't notice it until you get home and you start looking for it. So we need to be careful in our lives as well that there are not things that are lost from us that we haven't realised. We'll come back to that in a bit. So what do we know about the women in this story? So we know in the story that she was probably poor, and the reason that people talk about that as being a likelihood is that she had to light a lamp to find it. So the chances are in those times the home was windowless, and so the reason that she had to light the lamp was to see where the coin had gone. Now remember, this is a parable, so this isn't a real woman and a real story that Jesus is telling. But it's useful to just think about the context at the time. So she was probably poor, and she had to light this lamp. And the other thing to say is the coins that she lost. There's quite a lot of discussion in biblical texts and discussions about this, about what the coins really about. So in our day, if you open your purse, you've probably got 5, 10, 20 coins of different denominations. But in biblical times, coins actually weren't that common. There was quite a lot of stuff that was done by bartering. So I'll cut your grass if you make me dinner. You know, that kind of thing. There was quite a lot of sharing of skills. And coins actually were quite valuable. Most transactions weren't done using coins. But if you were to have a coin and you look at what it was worth, so one single coin wasn't the same as a 5p or a 2p or even a 1p, if you remember what happened. It was about one day's wages for the labourer. So if a labourer in our day earned, I don't know, £100 a day, so one coin's worth about that amount of money. So it's quite a lot of money. It's not a 5p. It's not just something you can buy. Oh, I lost it in mind. This was valuable. This was quite a lot of money. And we don't know, given that she was poor, we don't know how much she had, but we know that this was 1/10 of her coins. She had 10 coins and she'd lost one. So if you think of your bank account and you had £100, if you suddenly lost a tenner out of it, that's quite a big chunk. Or if you had £1,000 and you've lost £100, you're not going to just ignore that. That's quite a lot of money. The other thing that people talk about, move to the next slide. Yeah, my clicker doesn't work, Charlie, sorry. was the notion that in biblical times, quite a lot of women would keep coins for their dowry towards being married. And they would place the coins on a headdress. So in this picture, you can see a kind of ring of a headdress, and there were coins on it. So the coins were a visible symbol of your ability to become married. Now, we are surmising this is not in the biblical text, but it was a common thing at the time. And so one might imagine that the coin actually was lost off of this headdress. So now it's even more valuable. It's not about its monetary value, it's about the fact that it might affect her dowry to become married. And actually it's also quite visible. If you've got, you know, what looks like a piece of jewellery and there's one piece missing, that's really valuable. and it's visible to outsiders as well. If you're going to wear that, you're going to wear it out in the street, everyone's going to see that. So, you know, this is speculation, but I think it's an interesting point. This coin may not just have been about her financial resources. It may have had other implications for her. It was valuable. So how do we know the coin is valuable? So there's a few reasons that we know the coin is valuable. We've talked about some. The other thing is that she lights a lamp. So we talked about the house being windowless. She's going to light a lamp. Oil was expensive. So people who were poor didn't light lamps unless they really had to, because it was expensive. So this coin is worth something to her, because she has to light the lamp to find it. So she's willing to pay the cost of the oil in order to find the coin. She's not just going to wait and find it another day. This is something really valuable to her. And what was the other thing she did in the story apart from lighting the lamp? She used a broom and swept the room. So again, I've probably glossed over that when I read this verse before, and you think, what's the broom about? So she's got a lamp, but she still wants to use the broom. So clearly, if you drop a coin, quite often it's a little tinkle noise. So actually, even though she's lit the lamp, she also wants to try and find it with the broom. She's hoping that if she moves it with the broom, it will make a noise and tell her where it is. Next slide. And when you look at this picture of the lady and the lamp and the broom, she's really searching for this, isn't she? She's not going to just wait and see where it comes tomorrow, or she's looking for it now. She wants to find it. And then the other thing is that we can tell the value of the coin by what she does when she finds it. So she doesn't go, oh, great, put it back in my purse, put it back in my headdress. Phew, thank goodness I found that. How often we do that, don't we? We lose our purse, whatever, you find it, you lose a piece of paperwork, you find it, and you say, she doesn't do that in the story that Jesus tells. She goes out to her friends and her neighbours, and she gets them to come and celebrate with them that the coin that was lost has now been found. So this is something that's valuable. This is not a 5 pence. This is a £100 bill. This is a £1,000 note, not that it exists. This is valuable to her. She is ecstatic that she's found this. And she earnestly and eagerly was searching for this coin. So we've taken a bit of detail about the woman and the coin and the value, but actually, what's the story about? It's not really about a coin. It's not really about a woman. It's about salvation. It's about God saying, I have come that everyone can be saved, everyone can know me. And if you are lost, I will earnestly and eagerly seek you. I won't leave any stone unturned. If it costs God to find you, he will light a lamp. If it causes him effort because he has to sweep the room, he will make that effort. The God that loves us seeks us and seeks us earnestly. And we know that Jesus came so that we can be saved. He uses the poor woman, as we said, to illustrate that no one is excluded. No one is excluded from God's love. He came that everyone might be saved. And he comes with that deliberate and intentional searching. It's not a passive thing, it's not half-hearted, it's not a wait for tomorrow thing. Jesus came that we could be saved, earnestly seeking us, waiting for us to be found, standing just hoping we're going to turn and be found. So what does the parable say for us today? So for us who are Christians, we are not to be lost coins. We are to live as those who are found, who have been saved by him, and who can rejoice. Get our friends and family together, so you never guess what happened. And that applies not just in the point at which we become a Christian, but actually in our lives. Do we live as someone who's still lost? Do we live in a sense of fear or rejection? Do we live in that rejoicing? When God does something in our lives, do we get friends and neighbours and say, you'll never guess what God did this week? He's given me a promotion. He's given me money that I didn't have. He's given me things I thought I'd never have. Actually, or do we live as if we're still lost? We're just passively waiting. The other thing that I think this tells us about is that Christ came to save us, and our responsibility as a Christian and as people is to have an individual decision to follow him. But this story talks about her rejoicing with friends and neighbours. Our responsibility is also to live in community and in relationship with other people. Christ didn't come that we live on our own. And the whole Bible is filled, particularly in the New Testament, of the New Church and the New Testament Church coming together in community and in relationships. And when we lose something and find it, our responsibility is to share that with people, to celebrate together, and to start to walk through life. One hopes that you would be accountable to one another, to walk alongside each other. Then the third thing for me about this story is that, like the lost sheep, we shouldn't be satisfied with the 9 coins that we already have, or the 99 sheep we already have. So God calls us to earnestly, eagerly, insistently look out for people that are not yet Christians.
Yeah.
Earnestly, eagerly, intentionally, yeah. Lighting a lamp, sweeping the room, celebrating as a community when someone becomes a Christian. And I was really challenged about that. I don't know if I actually have that approach in my personal life, with the relationships I have, the friends I have. I don't know if we've got that in our church. Do we earnestly, eagerly seek to get alongside people as the one coin that's not yet joined? Do we do that? Do we earnestly, eagerly, intentionally get out and seek people for Christ? Now, what I don't mean by that is standing on a corner telling everyone they're lost. And we have the answer and you just need to be found. Because we already said there's a problem where you don't realise you're lost. What we're talking about is walking through life alongside each other, whether you're Christian, whether you're not, going through life together, supporting people, praying for them, praying with them, praying out of their situations. If they're in difficult times, you want to pray that God is going to come in. We want to pray over them, behind them and around them. We want to stand with them and we want them to know them. This is not about telling everyone they're lost. So please, if one thing you remember, please don't do that. So my question for us really is, are we deliberate and industrious in seeking those who are lost? In our relationships with them and in our prayer for them and with them. But then this moved me on to think a little bit about, so this whole parable is about salvation, this is what it's about. But actually it moved me on to think about lost things, in other ways. What about when we become a Christian? Can we still lose things? Now clearly you can still lose paperwork and passports and hopefully not children, but that's still possible. Actually, can we still lose things? Well yeah, you know we can. We can lose lots of things whilst we're a Christian. And I had a situation recently where I was talking to a friend about some challenges I was facing. And they felt like big challenges. So I, in honesty, was talking about all of the issues. And at one point they stopped me and said, "Why are you telling me about the giants?" I said, "What?" Now the story in the Old Testament where the spies are sent into the land and they come back and say, "Oh, it's terrible there. You don't want to go there. Yeah. Big and vicious and there's no food and it's horrible." And actually then 2 spies went in and came back and said, "No, it's the land of milk and honey. This is where we should go." And actually, it's about perspective. The land was no different between those 2 groups of people. The difference was having God's perspective. And that just caught me thinking, actually I'm describing what I see with my human eyes. And what I'm not doing is looking with God's eyes into my situation. And it's really easy to only look at one thing and not the other. Go to the next slide. Oh, one more? Right, so this is about perspective. So there's a little picture on the screen. I'd like to look at it for a few minutes, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand for 3 areas. So the first group is, raise your hand if you can see an old man. So quite about 60% can see an old man. Okay, bottom down. Who can see a young man? Much less. I'll come to the third question in a minute. So 3 or 4 can see that one. And who can see both? Bob, Mark, Rafe. Yeah, so about 4, 5, 6 can see both. So for those of you, there's quite a lot of you that can see the old man. Can you find the young man in the picture?
That's his nose. And he's facing that way, and that's the top of his hat. He's turned that way. Can you see the young man now?
Yeah.
Can anyone still not see the young man?
Yeah.
Lots of you still can't see the young man. So when I see this, I only start to see the young man, and I have to work really hard to see the old man.
Yes,
got it. Yeah.
You got it?
You block out the.
Oh, got it. Yeah,
yeah.
Got it.
So this is the neck here of the young man, and he's facing that way. But what this is, you know, this is doing it work like this sometimes, isn't the perspective an interesting thing? That actually both things are in that picture, but it's really easy to see one and not the other. And sometimes in our lives, we look at it and we only see the old man and the young man. And actually what God wants us to see is the other one. Or even to see both. Yeah. Actually, it's not about what we see, it's saying, God, what do you see? Yeah. And I think losing perspective is actually a really difficult thing. Because when you focus on the wrong thing, that's all you can see, actually it's really hard to move forward. What we need to do is keep God's perspective. So let's not lose perspective. Can we lose other things? Yeah, we can lose joy, we can lose peace, we can lose hope, we can lose trust, we can lose faith. Why do we lose things? So if you think back to things like purses and wallets, well, sometimes it's carelessness actually. Sometimes the reason that I've not got my purse with me is because I didn't put it from one hand to the next. So actually it's entirely my carelessness. I left it sitting somewhere and I shouldn't have done. So sometimes it's us that leads us to lose things. There's an action or a carelessness about our lives that causes something to be lost. Mm-hmm. Equally, we know that the enemy can steal from us. We know that once we become a Christian, the enemy comes to seek, to steal, to kill and destroy. So actually, sometimes it's the enemy. Actually, more often it's both, in my experience. More often, there's a little bit of us being a bit careless about something, and there's an opportunistic thief that will step in and try and steal something from us.
Yeah.
So in our prayer life, in our time with God, actually, are we careless? Are we missing things? What are we filling our lives with? Are we filling it with praise and worship? Are we filling it with things on the internet we shouldn't be watching? Are we filling it with books that we shouldn't be reading? Computer games that are not helpful? Actually, let's not give ourselves an opportunity to be careless about things like faith and hope and joy and peace.
Yeah.
If you lose peace, life's really hard work. So how do we know it's lost? Because there is a danger that while something's lost, we have that first moment where actually we're fine, and we don't actually realise we've lost hope or faith. So our connection with God is number one. Our personal relationship and walk with Him is to allow the opportunity to identify areas of our lives that we've lost something in. We should recognise signs of it being missing, which is often the opposite of being present. So when we lose faith, hope, joy, we often become fearful, very anxious, quite hopeless, quite negative, quite destructive. All those negative things can quite often be apparent in your life. And suddenly we begin to see them, that you can recognise something's missing. But equally, there's an accountability to others. We talked about living in community, and there is an opportunity to allow others to speak into our lives and say, you look a bit anxious these past few weeks. What's up? Is something bothering you? You don't quite look as cheerful as you usually do. Actually, sometimes other people can see a lot more from the outside than we realise we project.
Yeah.
And actually begin to look quite downhearted, quite downcast, and somebody spots it. And what we want is, as a church, to have ability to say to people in a supportive way, I've noticed that you don't look quite so happy. What can I pray for you? What can I do? Actually, that ability to speak into each other's lives. So we recognise we've lost something. What do we do? So, number one, we ask God. We follow His leading. We earnestly seek, intentionally seek Him in the situation. We want to light the lamp, we want to sweep the room with the broom, we want to find that bit that's missing.
We want to seek God for the reason it was lost in the first place. What did I do that caused this thing to be lost? Not in a negative way, but actually not to blame ourselves, but actually I don't want to find it and then lose it again. If I'm not careful with my wallet or my passport, if I don't change the way I behave with it, it will happen again. What we don't want to be is a cycle of having lost our joy, found our joy, lost our joy, found our joy. Actually, let's cut through and see, God, what is happening? Why am I lost in the first place? What can I do in my life to avoid that loss happening again? And then the fourth thing, is to speak the word of God into our lives. Actually, if you lose something, there's pretty good words in the Bible that will tell you how you can find it. And we'll speak truth. In the prayer time this morning, there were some words about truth. And if we want to know truth, we need to know Christ. So if we want to know the truth of why we've lost something, or how we can get it back, or what he says about us, it's in the Bible. It's in his words. Next slide. So if we lose perspective, we can read Hebrews. There's lots of other verses, by the way. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So let's not fix our eyes on our circumstances. Let's fix our eyes on him. If we lose faith, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. From John 3:16. If we lose joy, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Not a little bit of joy, not a little ounce. Well, that is not money, 25 grand or whatever. Fullness of joy, just like tons of it.
Yeah.
Tons of joy.
Yeah.
Next slide. If you lose strength, it says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. If you lose hope, in his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that you can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Never perish, spoil, or fade. And then lost peace. Isaiah says, you will keep perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. It was mentioned already this morning, John 10:10, that Christ came that we can have life. And he came that we can have life abundantly. Fullness of joy, abundant life. This is not just halfway. Christ didn't come that we could live a halfway house as a Christian. It doesn't mean we don't have problems, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean we don't face difficult situations. It doesn't mean that we never have issues to face. What it means is, through his grace, he will stand with you, he will stand beside you, he will go before you, and he will come and be the Lord of your life. And those promises that he's given you will be fulfilled. Fact, if there are a promise from God that's been given to you, it will be fulfilled. Fact, end of story. You might not see it right now, it might not seem obvious, it might not even seem possible, but he's the God of the impossible. So for us today, the message is to take home. Do we as the church and as individual Christians, do we have that same approach to people that are not yet Christians? We earnestly, intentionally, eagerly seek to show them Jesus in what we say, in how we act, in how we look after them and love them. Do we do that? Do we do that as a church? Do we earnestly seek to get to know people and show them Jesus that we know? What about in our personal lives? Are we missing anything? Do we suddenly realise today that something's lost? Have we lost joy? Have we lost peace? We lost perspective? There are many other things that can be lost. These are just some examples. I want to ask you today to bring that back to God. Take it back. Just take it to him. Let him give you life abundantly. And then there may be some people that don't yet know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Have we stepped from being lost to being found? Because do you know what? He seeks for us earnestly, eagerly, intentionally. He's got the lamp lit and he's got the broom sweeping the room. He is searching for people to know him. So, Father, as we close today, sermon cover. I want to bring across this room now, I want to be speaking to people. Speaking about things that they need to change in their lives, ways that have been lost. Areas of their life that they recognise now and not as you hope them to be. And as a church, Father, I pray that you help us keep your perspective on searching for the lost. Everyone is to be saved. We can't reach some people and not others. Well, your job for us is to reach everyone. Help us earnestly, eagerly seek anything that's lost in our personal lives or in our community. Jesus.